Welcome to the WebSphere Support Technical Exchange. Today's topic is WebSphere Data Interchange for COS converting from a DB2 DBRM-based plan to a DB2 package-based plan. Today's presenter is John Kirkwood. John is a senior software engineer providing technical customer support for WebSphere Data Interchange. He has assisted hundreds of customers worldwide with installing and implementing WebSphere Data Interchange. At this point in time, I would like to turn the presentation over to John.
Thank you, Joseph. Welcome, everybody. I see a lot of familiar names. That's always great. Hello. And I also see some new names, so welcome to those. I'm going to start with the agenda, so let's go to slide 2. I'll cover the reasons why you should make the move to DB2 packages. Then I'll review the old traditional DBRM-based plans that are used by WDI currently. And then move on to the review of the new WDI DB2 package-based plan. I'll cover converting DBRM-based plans to packages, then maintaining DB2 packages, and lastly, I'll provide some additional resources to help you with your conversion. Joseph, please move to slide 3. Big question, why make the move to DB2 packages? I have a couple of good reasons. There are more, but to start with, from the DB2 version 9.1 for ZOS installation guide, releases of DB2 after 9.1 will not support plans that contain DBRMs. So in preparation, ensure that all of your plans contain only package lists. Then holding to that above statement from the DB210 for ZOS installation migration guide, quote, binding DBRMs directly into plans is no longer supported. Now, however, DB2 does provide a couple of features that help with quick migration type of things. And the first being a rebind can be used to create packages from existing plans, meaning you can just simply take your existing plan that you're using today and have them converted into packages. Secondly, DB210 will dynamically, meaning automatically, rebind at runtime. But this isn't recommended due to inefficiency, of course. The auto rebind will be done each time your WDI job executes. So I think obviously the former option is best. And then I also provide the references, the link to the references, I should say. Slide number 4. Continuing with why you want to make the move, there are other reasons besides just maintaining support. So besides needing to convert to support the latest DB2 level, the key benefit is with your change management, especially if you use any WDI APIs or run under CICS. It's easier to manage package lists. They're also called PK lists because only the affected packages need to be rebound as WDI makes changes to its supply DBRMs. So what that means is the entire plan of all DBRMs does not need to be rebound when you convert to packages. Furthermore, customers who use any of the WDI API programs, that's an application programming interface, what that stands for, you know, who make calls to WDI, and they also make SQL calls often, they do not need to include its DBRMs with WDIs when binding. So they can have their own packages, in other words, you know, and then just be included in the list for the WDI plan. This is especially useful for CICS customers because when a transaction calls another transaction, that DBRM had to be included in the plan that was allocated for the initial transaction. So you don't have to have these large plans that have massive, you know, including WDIs, your programs, you know, and other programs, DBRMs, all under one big plan. That's definitely a big advantage for CICS especially. And just in, you know, as a general summary statement, with PK lists or package lists, that means you only have to rebind the affected package, you know, that, which could be just a single DBRM. Move on to slide 5. Our next topic is the review of the old traditional DBRM-based plans, just to kind of get you familiar with what you were doing currently before moving to packages. We provide sample JCL for the batch environment, and what that means, batch environment, that's where WDI runs, not necessarily this job itself, which obviously runs in batch, but just the plan is for the WDI batch execution. And it's in the library that SEDI INS1. It's called, the job name is EDIJBIND. What it does is it binds all 68 DBRMs that are used by the EDI FFUT batch utility. And the key point here is that you'll see there's a member parameter, and then what's done is all 68 DBRM members, those are WDI DBRMs supplied, you know, are listed under that member parameter. Let's go to slide 6. EDIJ bind also binds a single package for use with WDI stored procedures. And this is not used by any of the batch or CICS WDI processing. It's used by WDI client for remote submissions. And you can see under the additional resources slide at the end of the presentation for more details, I have a replay of a webcast I did previously for configuring WDI stored procedures. Slide number 7. Continuing now with WDI sample bind plan JCL for CICS now. Note that the SMP target library is SEDI INS2 instead of the 1. And by the way, the target libraries in general with a number 2 as a suffix are always for CICS. The 1 is always for batch WDI functions. What FXXJ bind does is it binds together all of the DBRMs that the EDI FFUT WDI utility program uses, you know, upon an exec CICS link or a start of EDIB. Again, under the members parameter, all the DBRMs are listed there for the WDI DBRMs, and you might even find in your plans that you're using under CICS with WDI that you've included your own members here as well. This completes our review of the old way of doing things. Joseph, let's please go to slide 8. Where the next topic is a review of the new DB2 package-based plan. This is also referred to as a package list or a PK list. The best way to look at this is as if each DBRM becomes its own plan, hence can be maintained separately. We provided a new sample JCL. There's 3 different members that are on this PTF, UK63010. And this PTF, very conveniently, just includes the sample JCL to accommodate package binding. It does not provide any code or any new updated DBRMs. Therefore, you can apply this without any impact to your runtime modules, and there are no prereqs for the PTF, so it's real easy to apply. The new sample JCL for the batch environment. We'll start with the first member. There's 3 of them. And by the way, there are also good comments within the JCL. I'm going to cover the highlights. EDIJ RBND is the job that you can use to do a DB2 rebind command that I had alluded to back on the previous slides. And what this does is it just converts your existing plan that you may already have in effect for WDI and converts them to packages automatically. So it just takes the existing DBRMs from the DB2 catalog, you know, and then creates a package list and a plan as a result. So it's real easy to run, so you could just in one job actually be converted to packages. However, there is, you know, obviously there's always something to have to consider, always exceptions. And this is where the next two jobs come in, the first one being EDIJ-BNDK. This is used to bind packages for one or more WDI-DBRMs. It serves two purposes. If you run all of the steps in the job, it will bind all the packages, facilitating those who wish to create new collections in support of new plans. Now, previously I was talking about the rebind. That does that for you automatically. So you only need to really run this in its entirety if you want to create a brand new plan. And also, another use for the CDIJ-BNDK job is to, in future PTFs, actually there's some out there now already, but future PTF hold actions will identify any packages requiring bind, and I'll be covering this PTF hold action example in the next topic. Let's go to slide 9. Continuing with the review of the DB2 package-based plan, specifically the EDIJ-BNDK job, each exec statement in this JCL references a different member in another target library called SEDI-SQL1. There's an EDIS member for each of the 68 packages included in the plan, EDI-ENU-33. And that, by the way, that's just the default plan name that we used previously. I've listed a sample bind package statement for one of the 68 members, and I highlighted in red the key parameters that you may need to change. The others you don't need to touch. They need to kind of stay how they are for WDI processing purposes, but the highlighted in red features are important for you to understand because you probably or many of you have made, you know, some type of installation modifications to meet your naming conventions, etc. So I'll go through those next on slide number 10. Okay, continuing with the bind package. Like I said, for each of these 68 members, there are these four parameters that if you've modified any one of these, you will need to modify all 68 of these members. The first parameter being a package, and what it is a collection ID where all of our DBRMs are used by the WDI batch plan. And, you know, I found this to be kind of a misnomer, you know, the term, the parameter package itself, because it's actually the name of the collection ID, not the actual member name. The member name is actually a different parameter that you would not customize. But the owner, then, the next parameter, is something you're probably familiar with. It's the SQL ID under which the WDI DB2 objects were created. So something like a set SQL ID, something you probably used when you created the objects, that's what would need to be there. And the qualifier, this is really the table high-level qualifier, this must match the owner. This isn't a DB2 general requirement, but it is specific to WDI. It is necessary to do that. You know, the owner must equal the qualifier. The last parameter, library, this is basically just the SMPE target library that contains each of the DBRM members, the 68 of them, and that you're going to customize. Well, I'm sorry, you don't customize the DBRMs. This is just what is provided with the product. So what's in the library parameter is really just the name of the target library. You know, and you don't need to even specify the members that you saw on the previous page. Let's go to slide 11. Okay. The next step, I'm sorry, the next sample job, and the last one, the third one, is the EDIJ-BIN2. What this does is it binds the plan using package or PK list. And it's doing this differently than you were used to before, because rather than listing all the DBRM members in the bind, you know, you actually specify the PK lists. It'll bind a collection of WDI packages as previously generated by your rebind job or your bind package JCL. And in the future, perhaps, we don't know, but there may be a PTF hold action. Maybe if we have to add a DVRM or something like that for some reason or another. But then again, we haven't needed to do this. You know, so that you have not, so far there are no PTFs that have called for this job. Let's move to slide 12. Okay. Now we're going to move on to the CICS environment. You can see there are three jobs as well. It's very similar in concept to the batch environment, just the names are different. You know, to recap, FXXJRBND is used to rebind the pre-existing DBRMs into packages under a collection named FXXENU33, and the default plan name is DIENU33C. And again, just like for the batch plan, FXXJBNDK in its entirety will bind all packages to create a new package collection for a new plan and will be called for on future PTF hold actions where only specific packages require bind. So kind of in other words, you know, just to kind of reiterate this, is that EDI or FXXJBNDK, just like EDIJBNDK, is a list of all, you know, exec statements with each of the 68 members. And what you could do when WDI makes an update to a DVRM, you only need to rebind the packages that are affected. Now, the third job, though, for CICS is FXXJBIN2, which binds a collection of WDI packages as previously generated by either the rebind or the bind package, CCL. Again, that's kind of provided for your convenience. It's not something that you need to run as part of the installation because the rebind is usually very sufficient for that. So just keep it in mind. It's really for your convenience, and we'll go into some details coming up here. Next topic, slide 13. Converting from a DBRM-based plan to packages. There's some dependencies. It depends on your DB2 version and your WDI maintenance level as to how you would go about it. And the reason being, at least for the WDI maintenance level, it's important since after PTF, UK3010, that's the one that added this JCL, et cetera, we've added new verbiage in future PTFs that specify a hold action that will tell you which individual package names, you know, have changed, and then you would use those names as part of the EDIJ, BNDK, and then run only the steps pertaining to those packages. The problem being with why the maintenance level is important for WDI is because before this PTF, you know, it was before the new process, you know, we cannot call out the specific packages, and that's because we can't go retroactive on our PTFs. We can't go and update old PTFs and add all of these other actions, or this alternative action, I should say. And DB2 level is also important because depending on how recent of a level that you're at, it kind of limits your options. If you're at DB2 version 9, you know, you can continue to use the old traditional method as you apply additional WDI maintenance. So if you're deciding to do this conversion to packages at the same time as you're going to apply WDI maintenance and you're applying old maintenance as well, you're better off just doing it the old way first, and then when you're done with that, then you can just run the rebind to convert. And that will just take care of it all at once. But if you're at version 10, and you could do this if you're at version 9 as well, but at version 10, you'll need to convert in order to apply any of the maintenance, meaning at version 10, you cannot run the old bind, like EDIJ bind or FXXJ bind. You'll need to convert first. You know, I'll get into some details on that coming up. And by the way, if you're still on DB2 version 8, you can optionally also use packages. You don't have to be at 9, in other words, to do that. Let's go to slide 14. Continuing with the ideas here I have for how to convert from a DBRM-based plan to packages, you know, EDIJ rebind really makes it easy. I mean, it's a very simple job to run, and it does everything you need to just have everything cut over to packages. The thing being, though, you know, new PTFs, though, will contain hold actions, so eventually you're going to need to embark on customizing EDIJ, BNDK to do package binding. And again, you know, since older PTFs, you know, cannot be updated retroactively, you know, you have to keep in mind that if you have a hold action that's calling out for the complete rebind of the whole plan, all 68 members, in other words, that what you'll have to do then is set up this EDIJ BNDK job so it executes all of the steps. And let's talk about that now. So I kind of suggest what you could do is create two different, if you're in this case anyway, where we have to apply some older maintenance and you need to convert the packages to be able to bind the plan, I'd suggest creating one version of the bind package JCL to accommodate the inclusion of all the packages. This would need to be used for the older PTFs, and really all you have to do this is to remove the comments from all the exec statements in the JCL. And then I would create a second version of this EDIJ BNDK job to accommodate binding for only specific members. In other words, as it's shipped, everything's commented out. So you would just remove the comment from the exec statements as listed in the PTF hold action. And by the way, we'll cover a hold action in the next section. Let's go to slide 15. Okay, the discussion thus far has been around the as-provided plans. You know, in other words, the EDIENU 33 for batch and the DIENU 33C for CICS. If you have other plans integrated, you know, due to API interfaces where your program also makes DB2 calls, you can convert these other plans with the rebind job. However, the collection ID will need to be different to prevent duplicate package names. You know, that is, you know, it needs to be different from the collection ID used previously for the main plan, like EDIENU 33. You would have to use a different collection ID. Now, alternatively, which I would recommend, is to just use a modified version of EDIJ BNDK, the bind package JCL, to bind your own packages in one of the following ways. First, either, or one way, is to bind into the existing collection ID. You know, you theoretically could just bind your packages right into the same EDIENU 33 collection ID, and then use EDIJ bin 2 as is to bind the plan under this existing list. You know, second option is to bind your packages into a new collection ID that you name yourself, then update EDIJ BIN 2 to bind the plan so as to include your package collection ID under the list. So it's basically the parameter in the EDIJ bin 2, it's PK list, and you would just have our, you know, the main EDIFFUT plan, dot asterisk, meaning it will include all 68 members, and then your collection ID that you've named that will include then all of your packages for your API. Hey, Joseph, let's go to slide 16. Okay, now we're going to go into the CICS environment a little bit and realize it is more likely that you would have other plans integrated due to API interfacing. This is because WDI and CICS is usually very tightly integrated into existing applications, and those applications are probably doing SQL calls as well. And then, so as with the batch plan, you can convert these with FXXJ RBND. However, again, the collection ID would need to be different. You know, you can't use the same main one that you've got just for the WDI program, EDIFFUT. And again, alternatively, which I would recommend, is to use a modified FXX JBNDK to include your own packages. And just like with the batch scenario, you know, you can either bind into the existing collection ID that WDI has set up, you know, then use FXXJ bin 2 to bind the plan under the existing list, or I would probably do the second option, which would be to bind into a new collection of your own choosing, then FXXJ bind 2 to bind the plan so as to include your package collection under the list. And again, it's just separated by commas. And again, just to emphasize, the asterisk means it's just going to include all the packages that are in the FXX ENU33 collection and then the one that you named. Next slide, slide 17. I'm going to go on to the next topic, which is maintaining DB2 packages. And we've kind of covered it here and there, but I just want to kind of reemphasize, and I'm going to give you an example. While the rebind or bind package, those are the two main jobs we've talked about, they'll create the initial DB2 packages. It is also necessary to maintain these as maintenance is applied to WDI. The PTF hold action is going to spell out which particular DBRMs have changed. And then you would just use the JCL provided in EDIJ, BNDK to bind each of the affected packages. Now realize the only tedious part of all of this setup is that each of these bind commands is provided in a separate member. So the SDDI SQL1 library, that's the target library for SMPE. And what you would do is you have to edit all 68 of these members if you deviate from our default naming convention. So you'd have to edit each of those members. It's a one-time edit, though. But once that's done, then you're ready for any of the DBRM changes that might come up in the future. And it's just as simple as removing a comment, as package names are updated from the PTF hold action. Let's go to slide 18 for an example. I just took a cut out of one of the PTFs. This is, nothing really specific about this PTF. But just to show you what we used to say is the top part where it says all customers should edit as appropriate, run EDIJ bind. And then it says all CICS customers run FXX JBind. Now where it says alternatively, this is the new section. And if you're using DB2 packages, and you obviously have to have this PTF applied, otherwise you won't have the sample members to edit. So again, the PTF being UK63010, and it just shows you how pretty straightforward this really is. You just have to edit the bind package JCL. It tells you the library. You just remove the comments from the exec statements as follows, and this is showing that there was just one DBRM updated on this PTF. And it gives you the steps if you're CICS. Again, it's very redundant. It is basically just, the names are just different is all. So if you actually use both batch and CICS, you really have to update both sets of those package bind that are in SEDI SQL1. Let's go to slide 19. Here's an example of the bind package, JCL. I don't think I really need to go through all of this, but it's just following through with how the JCL would look for that previous PTF hold action. You just comment in the specific members and comment out all the others. That way you're only having to rebind the specific updates from the PTF, not the whole thing, or not including your API if your API hasn't changed. All right, let's go on to slide 20. I give you here a bunch of links. The first link is real important. This is where we've set up a technical documentation on our support portal to just, we can update this dynamically. We even refer to it in the PTF itself, but it's just a place where we can give you any kind of caveats or things that we might have run into over the time. I don't have anything new to really say. It is current to date. So the top link is your most important. The second link, I'm just giving you a reference to the APAR itself. That's the code change report if you don't know what the APAR means. Basically, this is the report that says, okay, we're adding support for packages, and there's a link to that APAR. And then from that link, there's another link to say obtain fix for the APAR, and then you can just click on the PTF number, UK63010, and that'll bring you to a place for you to just order the PTF electronically, either from ShopZ or from IBM Link. And I had alluded to earlier, the third bullet here being, I did a webcast a while back about configuring WDI stored procedures, and that's again, that doesn't really pertain here, but again, I did make a reference to it earlier. It is part of that EDIJ BIND job. So I just wanted to make sure you realize there was one package that WTI had even before this. And lastly, I found that this Red Book really is very helpful. I mean, if you don't understand packages and the reasons for them, this Red Book does a really good job of just giving you the essentials that you might need. It goes into quite a bit of detail, even beyond what I understand with DB2. But again, still a very, very useful piece of documentation if you should need it. Okay, slide 21. In summary, you will all eventually need to move to packages. I think I've driven that point home by now. And we've given you new sample JCLs to provide support for these DB2 packages, and it also gives us a means for maintaining WDI in the future when DB2 changes are made. And then we covered the conversion of DDRM base plans to packages. And lastly, we reviewed how DB2 packages are maintained when you apply maintenance. Well, that concludes the presentation. Thank you, everyone, and back to you, Joseph.
Thank you, John, for a great presentation. At this point in time, Jackie, we would like to open the line for questions.
Dennis Imrie, your line is open.
Yeah, John, this is Dennis with Kaiser. I had a question about actual support for WDI carrying out in the future, because we've heard rumors that it's going away, and it sounded like from one of your statements that you're expecting more things to happen to DB2 that will affect WDI, so is the support going to stay around for a while?
Oh, hi, Dennis. Yeah, I can't comment on future direction of products. I mean, that's just not something that that I decide necessarily, right? There's no announced end of support date for WDI. I mean,
right.
There's no reason for you to be alarmed and think WDI is, you know, gone, going away, or whatever. But I was just alluding to the fact that, you know, like, for example, that third job would only be needed in the case where if we added a new DBRM, you know, or something like that in support of something new. You know, again, that's just a hypothetical, you know, and it's one reason why we decided to add it, so we would be ready, you know, at the time. And that job also, that EDIJ BIN2 job works, you know, or it's probably going to be needed by many customers just because they have API interfaces or they're using CICS for that, you know, with APIs. And also just if you want to create a new plan of your own, you know, just with a new name that you don't have before that you could just rebind, you know. So, I mean, there's really no implied intent you know, of support or lack of support. So I don't think you really should worry about it.
Okay. And then also we, I think, are at 8.1 or 8.3, I can't remember, and talking to our DB2 support, they probably said we might just skip ahead to 10. But I did think I heard you say that we can actually switch to this package under 8.
Yeah, you could. Yes, packages have been around for a while. I don't know what release specifically added them, but I know they were there or supported on version 8. So
okay.
There's no reason why you couldn't do it even at version 8. You know, and, you know, again, the other kind of interesting point here is when you're not at 10, if you're less than DB2 10, in other words, if you're putting on WDI maintenance, you know, kind of at the same time as you're going to convert to packages, it's best to just do it the old way while you're putting the WDI maintenance on, because you might have some older PTFs that are calling for that old job, right? That way you'll have all the DBRMs updated and then do the rebind that will convert them to packages, you know, after the maintenance is applied.
Great. Thanks.
All right, Dennis. Thank you.
We have no further questions.
Thank you, Jackie. We do have a question here coming through the group chat, and the question is, can John give a recommendation on materials one could review to get a more basic idea what DB2 plans and now packages actually are and what they accomplish?
Well, you know, I alluded to this before. It is a little confusing. You know, packages are really just, the best way to look at them is as if each package is its own plan. I know that's not really what it is, but I think in theory it's best to look at it that way. Then things kind of fall in place. The Red Book is a great resource that I have back on the additional resources slide. And that Red Book covers, you know, all of the reasons for packages and a lot more advantages than what I'm even just talking about here. You know, this presentation is geared specifically towards WDI's use, you know, of DB2. I hope that answers it.
Thank you, John. And here is another question for you. John, I went ahead and converted to pklist WDI-33 for batch and kicks without applying the PTF. I have maintenance applied from the end of 2009. Do you foresee a problem, and do I still need to apply for this, or apply this PDF?
That's a really good question. You can continue to do, you know, if you did your own conversion to packages before this new PTF, that UK63010 PTF, which adds all these JCLs, if you did it before and you were maintaining your packages before, you can continue to do it the same way. You don't have to use these new jobs. It's really, you know, just a foundation for us to reference, you know, as we're going forward with maintenance, you know, and other changes to DVRMs. So, again, you can continue to do what you've been doing. You know, you've probably already been taking advantage of it, you know, but the difference being now at least the PTFs will tell you which particular packages are being updated, rather than you having to just bind them all like you would before. Hope that answers that question.
All right, and here is another question coming in through the group chat. Are there any implications on the WDI stored procedure pertaining to the packages?
No. I mean, that's already a package, so it doesn't have any, you know, any particular bearing. And it's realized that the stored procedures are not used by batch or by CICS functionality, only by the WDI client.
Okay, and I see one more question in the group chat here. And the question is, how will converting to packages affect the performance of WDI in the KIX region?
That's another good question. I don't have any particular benchmarks, you know, to provide. I don't expect there to be any serious degradation or improvement. The exception being, though, if you don't do any conversion, in other words, you migrate to version 10 of DB2, for example, and you do not do the rebind or the bind package with all the members. In other words, you're just sticking with your old plan, the existing plan that was in place before packages. You know, if you do that and you don't do any conversion, what's going to happen is every invocation of WDI, every transaction that is, CICS Tran ID, every time it's invoked, it's going to have DB2 under the covers. It's going to automatically, you know, rebind the plan for you just dynamically under the covers. That obviously would have a serious impact on performance. You definitely need to, if you're going to go to DB210, you've got to convert to packages. I mean, just for performance reasons. Okay?
Perfect. Thank you, John. So I don't see any other questions in the group chat. And therefore, we will conclude the presentation at this point in time.